All right, let's take our Bible this morning and let's turn into the book of Genesis. We're going to the first book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 4. I want to look at, we're still dealing with prayer, and I want to deal with this subject again this morning and look at it in a different manner and pray that God will help us. If there's anything we need more of, it's prayer. And then if anything we need to do more, is pray. And Genesis chapter 4, I want you to read with me, please, one verse. Verse number 26. Genesis 4:26. And it said, and to Seth. Now you know who Seth is. Seth is the one that took the place of Abel. You remember Cain killed Abel, then they had another son. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men, notice this little phrase, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And some folks say that's the same prayer, but I don't believe, I mean, the first time people prayed, but I don't believe that. It just said that they began to call upon the name of the Lord. And we look at that thing. Now I want to tell you something. What in the world is prayer? What is prayer? It's the looking upward, I guess, is what God wants us to do when we pray. We bow our head, but we're praying upward. Our prayer is to go upward. But prayer is just the outpouring of our heart to God. That's all it is. And it's letting God know the desires of our heart, the needs of our heart, and, you know, whatever we talk to Him about. Last week we talked about ask, seek, and knock. You remember that? And so we've got to call upon the Lord. Prayer is a desire, or at least should be a desire, of every child of God. We don't pray much. We don't pray as often as we should. Amen. All right, I was just waiting on an amen there. All right, we don't pray very often. We say, I pray. Well, I pray too. But the more you pray, the more you should desire to pray, and the more you get in the I don't want to call it a rut, but in the challenge or in the habit of praying. That should be a habit, not to a place that we just go through a ritual, but it should be a desire in our heart. Prayer should be a desire in our soul to communicate with God. It should be. Not only is it a desire, but it's, thank God, an opportunity. Amen. It's a real opportunity to talk to the Lord. Praise God. Some folks would break their neck trying to talk to a dignitary that come through town. Ain't that right?
Right.
Amen. I remember years ago when the president, one of the presidents was coming through the town. I won't tell you which one it was, but we went up to town, and you couldn't hardly get in town to see the president. Amen. That's been many years ago. Just to let you know it's not the one we got now. But anyhow, we went to see the president, and everybody was there to see the president. Boy, everybody wanted to see them and shake the hand. I didn't shake the hand of the president, but anyhow, the crowd was there, and they'll do everything they can just to see the... Well, we ought to feel that way about getting to the throne of God. That's how we ought to feel, really. It's because it's a real opportunity to be able to talk to a dignitary, but it's a greater opportunity to talk to the Son of God. Not only is it an opportunity, but thank God it's a divine privilege. God has given us that divine privilege. There was a time in the Bible when men could not do that. Amen. They communicated with God, but not in the sense that we communicate with God today. The Bible said we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Is that correct?
Amen.
And so we need to make sure that we get there. Talking with God is a divine privilege. Now, praying is and should be more than just words, not just words that we speak. I thought about a fellow I was reading about, and he said that he was a writer, and he'd been writing and wrote a lot of books, and he made a lot of money from his books, and he called the publisher, and he said, I've got a new book out, and it's 50,000 words, and he said, how much can I get in advance about this book? And so the publisher... talked on the phone and said, well, how important are the 50,000 words? So sometimes our prayers can be like just tinkling brass and, you know, and sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, and it could just be noise. But how important are your words when you're praying? I think it ought to be more than just words, don't you? Most of our prayers say nothing, ask for nothing, and actually expect nothing. When we pray, we should expect an answer from God. I believe we ought to pray believing. Most of the time we're praying up front, and we know that we're not going to get it because we know what we're praying for is really not right with God. And it's even against the Scriptures. How many times have you thought about that when you stop to pray? And so we'll see that has happened sometimes. Now, let's look at our text, and we're going to look here this morning at some places in the Bible and give you some things that I believe would be good for us and pick up some times when people have talked to God out of the Scriptures. Now, here in chapter 4 and verse number 26, the fourth little chapter in the Bible, I mean, we've just got a short distance. Man's been expelled from the Garden of Eden. He's been put out because of sin. And now who we find here, it said, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And somebody said, was that the first time that they prayed? Had they not prayed before then? Well, I believe if you'll go back to the Scriptures in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, God walked with man in the cool of the day. And so there was no need of what we know as prayer today. There was a general conversation between God and man. Amen. Now that's how God really wants it. God really wants us to have a face-to-face communion with Him. And that's why He put Him in the garden and had everything. And then God came in the cool of the day to speak. And they talked and they had a communication. But sin got in. And so that's changed things. Now there's a barrier. And ever since that barrier's been there, man's not been able to speak to God face to face. Except for the time when Jesus walked on the face of the earth for 3.5 years. And so now we have to go to the throne of grace to find help, and when God put them out. But I do believe that we'll find in the Scripture that if you look into the fourth chapter, in the early part of it, I do believe that man still communicated and prayed, if you will, in a sense. And communication with God is prayer, by the way. Amen. You may not get down and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But communicating with God and talking to God is prayer. Brother, when we pray, we're communicating with Him. But we find in the fourth chapter, the first part of it, that there was a man by the name of Cain. You remember Cain rose up, killed his brother, and Cain went the way of man. And so we know that in verse number 8, Cain and Abel talked together. Cain killed him. But now look here, down in verse number 13, and Cain said unto the Lord. Now this is a communication. You don't show anything where God has come to him. If you look, it said, And the Lord said unto Cain in verse number 9, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And God is speaking to him. You'll find out he's speaking to him. Now how the communication was, I cannot tell you. But I see that there was a communication. And then we see in verse 15 how that God said, And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him. So there was a communication. It's a type of prayer, if you will. This is outside the Garden of Eden. And so we know that there was some communication going. And in chapter number 4 and verse 26, And then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And we get to chapter 5, which is, somebody asked about it the other day. This is what I call the dying chapter of the Bible. This is God's obituary column of the Scriptures, and God begins to tell how long they lived and died. But we come down in verse number 19, And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch, look at that. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now the Bible goes on down to tell us that Enoch, in verse number 24, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't believe today that you can walk with God without having some kind of communication and fellowship with Him. Amen. Amen. So I believe men did pray, and I believe that they prayed there. When we get over a little bit further in chapter 6, we find Noah. Look at Noah, verse number 8, chapter 6. It said, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we find that he walked with God too as well. And so Noah walked with the Lord, and we can find that and hear. So how could he do that and find grace without having some communication with God? So men are calling upon the Lord. We're looking at how that they prayed in the scriptures and how it comes on and goes. But I want us to turn over a little further into the book of Genesis. The flood, of course, comes through. And in chapter number 12, I want us to go and look at this. And here's where praying began to start, as we know praying, in the sense that we see people calling upon the Lord. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 8, the Bible began to give us something here. I'll give you time to turn. Chapter 12, verse 8, it said, "And he removed." Now who? Abraham. We're talking about Abram. At this time, Abram. Abram was later changed to Abraham. But right now, Abram. And so we find verse 8 says, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar." You see that? He's an altar builder. "Unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." That's what you do with an altar. Now, false religions use the altar for different purposes. But Abraham built an altar. He was an altar builder. He passed that on down to his children, and they came through. You find Isaac was an altar builder, and they prayed. So what do you build an altar for? It tells you there. And he called upon the name of the Lord. He started praying. He was a one who prayed much, and so it's given us that here. Slide over to chapter 13. When we get to chapter 13 in verse number 4, it says, "Under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord." He kept going back to the altar. And so men need to pray. And God has started out from his Bible in chapter 4. Men begin to pray. And beloved, we need to pray. We need to have an altar. And I'm not talking about necessarily just a place built up for it, but have you a certain place. It may be in the back bedroom and a little chair on your knees, amen, or somewhere. It may be a certain place that you sit and call upon God. It's not the position of your body. It's the position of your heart. Amen. I used to have people that argue with me all the time, and they said, "Preacher, you got to be on your knees to pray. You have to be on your knees to pray." Now, amen. What are you going to do if you ain't got no knees and you lost your legs? Amen. So I'm talking about these things, and it's not the position of your body. Somebody said, "Well, I stand praying standing up, preacher. I pray standing up." That's fine. I have no problem with that. Stand laying down. Amen. If you want to, that's fine with me. Amen. I always have told about this little story about my wife. Remember that? I've told you about that. It's not an easy thing for me to lay down in the bed and pray. That's not my place. That's right. I can get in the bed, and next thing you know, I'm a sawing logs. Me and my wife was praying, and we had a real burden, and I said, "Lord, you know." And she said, "I don't think I'll get outside the bed tonight. I just won't pray there." I said, "I'm tired." I said, "All right, lay there and pray." So I was down praying. I said, "Lord, you know, anything we touch on, any two of us agree on it, it's going to be done. We're agreeing on this one thing. Lord, let it be done." And I heard her snoring. So she was not paying any attention. She done knocked out. So I'm telling you this morning, it's not the position of your body, it's the place where your heart is. You stand up and not being right with God either. Now you find them standing, you find Solomon was on his knees with his hands in the air. Amen. I pointed that out, I believe, just a day or two, or at least read the scripture. Don't think I pointed it out, but it's there. And it's not the position of your body. But make sure you pray. You need to have a daily time of devotion before the Lord. Brother, we need to call upon the Lord. You need it and I need it. Amen. Now, I come into the church one day and I said something about the altar. We need to use the altar. And I would stress it. I said, "Let's come to the altar and pray." And I know some would come and some wouldn't. They would never come. So, of course, I don't do that anymore. I don't press people. Amen. When I get them come, you're either going to pray or not pray, and that's up to you. But anyhow, when I said that, this little lady sitting on the side back there, and I said to her, I said, "We need to pray, and just come on the altar." And she looked, she said, "The altar's for sinners." And she didn't come, and I thought, What do you think you are? And I didn't tell, I didn't say that, but I thought it. Amen. So if you got the idea that the altar's for sinners, you ought to be the first one here. But I know what she meant. She meant those who are lost. But I believe the altar's for the saved people. Amen. It's safe. It's for the lost too. But if we're not going to use the altar ourselves, we're not going to get people come to the altar that's lost. And so we need to frequent the altar. Amen. It needs to be as something that's set up in our hearts. In chapter 13, verse number 4, we read that. Let's go to verse number 18 now. We get down to verse number 18 of chapter number 13, and you'll find something else. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, I've gone through these places in the scriptures in days past. I know I have even at this church. And we've talked about the altars and went where they built altars. So we're not into that today, but we're just showing you that men pray. Now, when we get to the 15th chapter, I want to turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. And let's read a few verses here. And notice what it says. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Now, you're seeing the servant, and you're going to see him show up again later. But right now, here's some praying. Verse number 3, And Abram said, he's talking to the Lord, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And the Lord's given him the promise that he's going to have a child. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And so he right here is talking to the Lord. Prayer. He's communicating with God. And so you find it happening. Then we go to chapter 16 in verse 8. You find different ones praying. I'm just pointing out some things in the scriptures just to let you know. And you said, well, I know we need to pray. That's right. But, brother, you can get things done. And we'll look at chapter 16. And let's go down to verse number 8. Well, let's look at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her, talking about Hagar now, found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, Whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for a multitude. So there's communication. This time the angel of the Lord. But there's some communication with heaven. So Hagar's praying. And you can read that story when you get home and study it. Go to chapter 17. I'll cover some ground today. But it's important to see these places in the scriptures and how that people pray. When you get to the 17th chapter, you're seeing that God confirms the covenant that he's made with Abraham. He does that in verses 4 through 8. You can see that established. But let's go to verse number 15 of the 17th chapter. And God said unto Abram, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Amen. They're calling that to God. Sometimes, God tells us things that's going to happen sometimes. That's why our prayers sometimes don't get answered, because sometimes we think some of the things we ask God is kind of foolish. Remember, God has given us something here. He's given Abraham something. Actually, it's beyond the thinking of mortal man. God said, I'm going to give you a child. And while we're past the years, he knows that. And so he kind of laughs, and I'm saying that he kind of shrugs it off. He believes God, but he don't believe God, you know, in the sense of certain things just won't happen. But anyhow, we'll see what happened. Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." He's thinking, he's talking to him. And God said, "Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." The reason we don't really sometimes have a lot of our prayers or a lot of miraculous things take place in our lives is because we don't really ask God for them. We don't really do it. We don't really ask God for them. We miss some of those. And sometimes we just don't believe them. There's some things you want to ask God for, but before you pray, you don't really think it's going to be answered. Now, just be honest. You know you've done that. Amen. Now, Lord, I'm asking you this, and I know it's not impossible with you, but don't really believe. I know you can. I know you can, but I ain't so sure you will. Now, we all know this morning as a child of God that God can do everything. He can do anything. He can answer our prayers, right? He can. God can. God is mighty. He's able. He is able. Well, but when we get down to pray, Lord, I want you to do this. I ask you to do this. But there's a little doubt. You don't look and you don't say in your prayer, "Now, I don't believe you will." But you know God knows that. He knows your thoughts for you. Amen. Say them or think them. So God knows, and he knows your faith, and our faith is weak. My faith is weak. Amen. I don't like to say that too much. And it's not a good thing for a child of God to brag about not having faith. "Oh, my faith is weak." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God just means we're not in the Bible enough. If we stayed in the Bible from cover to cover, day in and day out, 24/7, I guarantee you our faith would be strong. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's where we get our faith. Amen. My faith is not strengthened by you. You may help me to understand God in it, but I'm going to tell you something. As a general rule, looking at the Word of God, it's the Word of God that gives me faith to believe. And I read the Word of God and see what God has done. I know He can do it for me too. But I've got to appropriate that in my heart and believe. See, I missed a verse a while ago. I saw it when I was coming by. Abraham believed God. And so anyhow, we know that's where it's at. God has given us these scriptures. Then we slide into chapter 18. You see, these are men and women who pray. They pray quite a bit. And you see it going down into verse number 23. And now we find Abraham. Here's some real serious praying going on. I'm going to read this. It's a little lengthy, but I want you to read this with me. He said, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" We're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah now. Sodom and Gomorrah's down there. Lot is down there. The family's there. And so now God and Abraham's having a prayer meeting. And he's interceding. In other words, he is in between. He's a go-between. Then he said in verse 24, "Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" He said, There's 50 down there. Now, that's what Abraham and I actually believe. He probably thought there were 50. Amen. He actually thought there were 50. And then he said, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Now he's talking to God. And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." Now, Abraham knows, hey, there must not be 50 down there. So he says in verse 27, "Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." At least he had the humility about him, and that's how we ought to approach God. I don't approach God in arrogance, do you? I've done it too many times. It don't work. Amen. We just can't be arrogant. We go into the throne of God. Verse 28, "Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? Abraham said, "I'll trim it down a little bit. What if it's 45 down there?" And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." Now Abraham knows, hey, they ain't even 45 down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 29. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I speak yet but this once. Peradventure then shall, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And I guarantee you, Abraham believed that there were going to be 10 down there. And he went a little further. He quietened down. That's the whole city. The Bible said in verse 33, and the Lord went his way, and as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So here's some intercession. Here's some prayer. Sometimes we have to intercede. How many times you got down to intercede for your family members, for your church members, for somebody that's sick? Amen. And that is something we need to do. We not only need to pray for the lost, but we need to pray for the strength of the people of God and for the nation. Amen. That's why this nation is a mess. We don't pray for our nation like we used to. Amen. We're critical of it. Very critical of the nation. And we have a right to be critical of some of the things we see. But I want to tell you something. We're not really praying. How many of us really agonize before God that God will turn the nation around? And I'm talking about we pray, oh, God, turn the nation around. But we don't want to pay the price and agonize before the Lord. Amen. We're getting like it was in the days of Sodom. And brother, we're not praying and seeking the face of God. We ought to be intercessory prayer warriors. We ought to have intercessory prayer in our hearts and lives. Oh, God, help us this morning. We need that. Amen. We see it. Now let's go to chapter number 20. We find chapter 19, God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. But we get over in chapter 20. The last two verses of that lets us know some more and lets you see that things are going on in praying. Even though God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and brought Lot out, and there wasn't but him and his two daughters, his wife turned to the pillar of salt, so there wasn't but four that God even brought out. And that were actually three at the end. There was Lot and his two daughters. And so there wasn't 10 righteous. And then we come to chapter 20 and verse number 17. Look at this phrase. So Abraham prayed unto God. You see that? He begins to pray now. And God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. So he prayed and sought the face of God in behalf of them. He said, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And so what happens is we find that Abraham's praying. He's a praying man. You need to be a praying man or a woman. We need to pray before God constantly, solidly, amen, every day of our lives. We need to pray. And then we come over to chapter 24. This is a very interesting chapter. When we get to chapter 24, we find that the bride is being sought out. Now, I read to you a while ago, Eliezer. You remember that? You might have said, keep that in your mind. Eliezer was the servant of Abraham. This is a servant. His name's not mentioned in chapter number 24, but he is the servant. And so we know he's been sent. He's been sent to get a bride for Isaac. And so in chapter 24, I want us to start reading at verse number 12. And he said, O Lord, now here's what's happened. He's got to where he's supposed to go. He's still trying to find the right woman. He wants to know exactly who the bride's going to be. So he gets to verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. This is Eliezer, the servant. He's a type of the Spirit of God. I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant, Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now he's called on the Lord. He's asked God to do that. And so we find in the scriptures, people call on the Lord out of chapter number 4. And you'll find out exactly what happened a little bit further. They came to get a drink for the camels, and first one he spoke to was Rachel. And so we find I mean, Rebecca, excuse me. What did I say, Rachel? Rebecca. And so Rebecca is the one that answered the call. She gave the camels drink, and we found out that she was the one. And so men pray. We ought to pray. This church ought to pray. We ought to pray constantly. Prayer ought to be something we do. Amen. Not just at a... We go through it form and fashion, tell you the truth. It's rituals. I'll say this in closing. And I've said it before, but I'll tell you again. In one of the churches I pastored, they met every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. I thought that was very commendable of every one of them. We'd meet every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. They'd come into the church, and they'd line up across. We'd have 7, 8, 10 men sometimes. And then it got to be a ritual. It was just a thing they did. And when we first started that, those men would agonize with the Lord and pray and seek the face of God. But it became a ritual. It more or less just come in, go through the motion, and go back home. It wasn't doing a bit for our service, and so it wasn't doing any good. And sometimes my prayers, and sometimes your prayers, yes, yours as well as mine, do not get in touch with God, and they become ritualistic. And we're just going through a form and a fashion. And our prayer life needs to be vitalized, strengthened, and it needs to be strong. And brother, I would say we need to be a mean business when we go to the throne of grace. Amen. Sometimes we just pray, just be praying. That's why sometimes when you're in a crisis or a tragedy or some kind of something you've got to make a decision on, that's when prayer certainly means much to you. Amen. When you're at the place in your life that you're looking at somebody and say, pray for me, I need some prayer, you're serious then. Most of our times, we're not asking anybody else to pray. We're not even serious about our own prayer life, much less somebody helping us. You with me? So praying is serious. It's serious business. I pray my prayer life gets better. I pray yours gets better. Amen. You said, I don't need no improvement on mine. You're the first one I'm going to pray for. Amen. Amen. You got that attitude. You need to pray. And I need to pray. And my prayer life don't come up to par. Neither does yours. God help us. We prayed. It would show. The more we pray, the more it shows. You don't have to, a man don't have to walk around and say, I pray all the time. A man prays all the time. You'll know he prays all the time. Amen. Heads bowed. Our Father, thank you for the goodness of the Lord. Thank you for the presence of God. Thank you for the Word of God. Strengthen our hearts, encourage our souls. And Lord, I pray this morning, this service would be pleasing. This service would be a blessing. This service would be a help. It'd be a strength and encouragement to the hearts of these people. I pray, Father, we go out today saying it's been good to been down to the Lord's house. We had a good meal from the throne of God. Give us, Lord, something from your word today. Feast as we may upon your word, I pray today. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, we humbly ask it all. Amen.